Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to talk a little bit about water baptism, but there's a principle at the end that I want to share with you that would have very much to do with us and where we're at in our walk with Christ. And it's this principle that Jesus lived out as we look at his life, but certainly in this passage. So Matthew chapter 3, I'd like us to look at that. And I'll start at verse 7. But when John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry or unlatch. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John. Jesus came to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him. In other words, John was opposing this whole idea. In other words, I shouldn't be baptizing you, Jesus. You should be baptizing me. And that's what he conveys to him. Now, in the original language, there's more tension than this. And when I say tension, I mean intensity on John's part. It's like, "Jesus, I cannot baptize you. We got this backwards. I really do not want to do this. You should be baptizing me. Who am I to baptize you?" And Jesus, it just continues on, and he replies to him. He says, "Let it be so now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented, and Jesus was baptized. He immediately went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There's a lot that happens in this passage that we can talk about. I just want to highlight a couple of things. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. In other words, turning from our sin, our life, our natural tendencies that offend God, and saying, "I no longer want to live like that, but I want you, Christ, to live in me, and I want to follow after you." And so, you know, repentance, and you know this, this is just a reminder to us. Repentance, it's like we're walking our direction, living our life, doing what we want. And repentance, we sometimes think, just simply consists of some sorrow, and we ask forgiveness, and, you know, call out to God for that, and then, you know, we've repented. And I want you to know that that's only, you know, part of the whole package of repentance. You know, repentance is confessing to God, knowing that we need God, admitting to our sin, admitting that we need to be saved. And so we go through the forgiveness process, the confession process. But then there's this part of repentance in the word itself that talks about there's a turn and a change. In other words, now our course of life is taking a different direction. No longer walking in just my own will, my own desires, my own intelligence or lack thereof, and we walk in a different direction, following after Christ, being his disciple, living now out a life of repentance, because we know that, you know, John says here that, you know, we're supposed to bear fruit on this baptism or fruit on this righteousness, bearing fruit, the fruit and nature of Christ and who he is in our life. And so this is this whole transformation and change of a new direction. And so it's not just asking forgiveness. It's putting with that faith that God has a way for us to be forgiven through faith in Christ, through the shedding of his blood, through his resurrection, this faith in him. But we know that faith and works go together, right? Our works, they matter. Now understand this. It's not that we work so we're good enough to go to heaven. You and I will never meet that standard. That is why Christ went to the cross. He was the only one that was pure and holy, sinless. And here he gives his life, that his blood was shed for my forgiveness, because we know that through Scripture, there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And so his blood was shed. We put faith in him. We apply through this faith his grace and mercy to us. And now that that has happened for us, we are to go and make good on that. In other words, how we live, how we act, our attitude, all of this, these works are a result of faith. And the works justify, get this, the works justify and prove that we have faith in Christ. It's what James talks about. Paul talks about it. That the way we live now should be proof and justify our faith. So faith and works are traveling companions in our life. They go together. We don't just do works, because that'll never get us there. We're saved by God's grace through faith, that we couldn't boast about our own works. But as a result of our faith in Christ, we're transformed, we're changed. This repentant life, we live different, we act different, conduct ourselves different. We are changed. Not just outward actions, but our inward attitude, so that out of this change in an inward attitude, these outward things are produced. So it's this change, this born-again experience in Christ. And so John is talking about this, and he is saying, who's warned you Pharisees and religious leaders? You're coming out here now to be, some of you are coming out here to be baptized. Who warned you? Because he says to them, don't think because you're Abraham's children, all right, that you're going to, just because of that, you're going to get in on this. Let's go back here and look for a moment. He sees the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism or to be baptized. He says, who warned you? He says, go and bear fruit, keeping with repentance. In other words, after we repent, bear fruit. Our life changes. These works that take place based on our faith. And he goes on and he says, don't presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able to raise up stones and or bring from stones raise up children for Abraham. I want you to understand what John's communicating here to these religious leaders and what he's saying to us as we look at the Word. You see, their culture and their religion and faith expressed in God, I want you to understand, it was their Jewishness. Okay? And John is saying, listen, just because you are Jewish and you are children of Abraham, don't think that that is going to bring you salvation. It's like this. Let's take it on a from our perspective. In other words, your parents, you are parents and you go to Assembly of God Church or Pentecostal Church, or and you have a child. And they're basically kind of what we say, born in the church. Does it mean that it's because they were born to parents who attend this Assembly of God Church, does it just automatically mean that they're children now, they're good to go? Heaven is theirs. They were born in the church. You can fill in any church or fellowship or denomination in the blank. Okay, Assembly of God, Fellowship of the Assemblies. You can fill in Lutheran. You can fill in Catholic. You can fill in whatever you want. Or Son of Abraham. And John says, listen, don't think because of your Jewishness. You and I, don't think just because we were born into a Christian family or a Christian church that that is all it takes. John's saying, listen, you've got to be baptized. You have to put faith in Christ and go through a repentance process and then make good on this repentance through the way that you are transformed and the way that you live following Christ. It's not just because you're Jewish. It's not your Jewishness. It's not just because you were born into a church. It's not because you are in North America. How many of you were born outside the borders of the U.S.? Bob, where were you born?
Poland.
Bob, just because you were born in Poland, it's not the criteria to get to heaven. My wife, she was born in England, grew up mostly in Canada, and then got her life right and came to the U.S. with me. I'm kidding. Now, don't go give her a hard time. She's not here, right in here this morning. She's out here doing something in ministry. But oh yeah, she's at a meeting this morning here in the church that's happening right now. Now, don't go, you know, telling her I talked about her, because I know that you do that because I always hear back from her. So I heard this morning you said, it's not what side of the tracks you were born on. It's not what family you were born into. Certainly, being born into a Christian family, hopefully that gives you, you know, the advantage of hearing the gospel and knowing Christ and seeing a Christian life modeled before you. But at some point in the development of who we are, or that child developing, that they have to come to a place where they choose on their own to have a relationship with Christ. We know up until that point that children are covered by the faith of their parent. Apostle Paul talks about it. But John says here, listen, just because you're children of Abraham, don't think just because of your Jewishness that you are saved. You must repent. It's not just believing in God, but a faith in God that is very personal, to the point that that faith in Him transforms us in how we live. You know this. Grace abounds, but, you know, for us who believe in Christ, Paul says we're not supposed to take advantage of that in the sense that we can live how we want and just think we're okay with God, that God's okay with us. Don't continue in sin that grace should abound, but we're supposed to bear fruit on this repentance. And so here's John giving all of that message in one or two sentences, at least what's recorded here, and giving them this message, which they understood because they were Jewish and understood who Abraham was. And because they're Jewish, they're, you know, God's chosen people, and so they're in. That was the outlook. And so John says, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And I need to know that that's not how it works for me. There must be a place of repentance. And baptism is an outward sign that there has been an inward faith. It's part of what water baptism is about. And so, we do immersion. We immerse people, you know, fully under the water and up. Okay? Now, when I was born and raised as a young child, we attended a church. My family attended a church. My grandparents went to this church. When I was an infant, the thing to do was to be christened or baptized, and they sprinkled me with water. I don't remember it. I grew up and I was grateful that my parents had a faith of some sort to go to church and to go through this process and understand that there was importance to it. Now, I don't know that my parents at that point really understood all the significance of baptism. It was just the way that it was done, and so it was kind of expected, and so they went through that motion, which I don't condemn them for. It's not wrong. I'm so grateful. But there was a point where I became a child of around 10 or so, where my mom had this faith experience that was very personal, responding to the work of the Holy Spirit to have a repentance in her life and to experience this repentance and the fruit of salvation and righteousness in Christ, that her life began to change. And faith became very personal for her. And so this experience that she had, you know, like every mother, if this is what happens that is great in my life, I want this to happen for my children. And so the process started. The Holy Spirit started to bring a hole in the barrier of human thinking and tradition and bring life to our family. And so that salvation has made its way through much of my family. That's what the Lord has done, but that's kind of where it started. And so later, when I was a teenager, we attended a church, a different church than where we attended prior to this ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our family. And there was a point where I said, you know, I'm grateful that my parents sprinkled me as a baby. I don't remember it. It was their initiative. Now I'm at a place where I understand. And I choose faith in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit and His kindness to me. I want to follow Him. This is my conscious decision. There was some development level where I chose for myself that I wanted to follow Christ. And that was what He was doing in me. And so I chose to be water baptized. And, you know, one of the reasons that we do immersion baptism, once again, water baptism is significant. It lines up with repentance, but it's this outward signification that says, I have repented, I believe in Christ as my Savior, and I want to be His follower. And in this whole process of salvation and repentance, there is this process of Randy. Say your name. Say your own name. Come on, louder. Okay. That you die to yourself. It is like this going down to the grave. And we are submerged under the water. In other words, I don't want to live unto myself. I want to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, He will live in me. And so when we are raised up, it is like this born again. I have following Christ. My old self has died, been buried, and now Christ lives in me, His resurrection power, and, you know, we follow after Him. And it's this outward expression of an inward faith. This is not supposed to be just some tradition. It's not to be a ritual. It's not just to be some motion we go through. It is supposed to be activated by a faith in us that we now want to follow Christ. And the Scripture teaches about baptism and repentance and working together this fruitfulness in our life. And so this is an expression of faith in obedience to His Word. And so we choose to be water baptized. It's one of the reasons that in our fellowship, when children are brought and infants are brought, who, you know, they really can't come to a place where there's a measure of understanding and development to choose on their own to follow Christ, we do something called a baby or child dedication. It's where parents bring a child, or a parent brings a child and says, I want to dedicate my child to the Lord. And so we don't sprinkle them with water. We just hear the profession of faith of the parent. And really, we call it a baby and child dedication, where we dedicate the child to the Lord. But really, it's a dedication of the parent or the parents or the grandparents, who's ever bringing the child and presenting the child, to make the commitment that I will do my best with God's help to raise this child to know Christ, to know what repentance is, and to live a life of godliness with God's help, grace, mercy, because we can't do it on our own. We need Him, and to follow after in the Scripture. And so we do child dedication or a baby dedication, knowing and hoping that one day this child will grow up under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the faith of the parent or parents, and to the point where they begin to understand and build a relationship that is very personal for them, that they now can express their faith and choose to follow Christ and be baptized. It's why we see adults get baptized. They've either gotten this understanding of salvation and faith in Christ at a later point in life, or they just never got water baptized. They've been a believer, they've been in another fellowship or in this fellowship, and they just never did it. And it's like, you know, I need to do this. I want to do this. I know I've already been proclaiming Christ in my life, but I've never been water baptized. It's one of the hurdles that some people feel sometimes when water baptism comes around. They say, I've already been going to this church for X amount of years, and people probably just assume I've been baptized. I've never been baptized. I said, well, great. It's up to you. Is this something you want to do? Is this something you feel you need to do? Well, I know I'm supposed to do it, but, you know, we get entangled in what are people going to think, or am I just going to be up there with some kids, or, you know, we go through all these different mental challenges and hoops and pitfalls, and it's interesting, you know, that some we read about who were baptized were already adults, and some wrestle with, I was sprinkled as a child, I don't remember it, but boy, I just feel like I need to do something. I need to do this. And that decision is yours. And so we look, and here comes Jesus to be baptized by John. Now remember, John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. Jesus has no sin. So why in the world is Jesus being baptized? It's one of the reasons that John had such an, not to oppose Jesus, but just to say, Jesus, why are you being baptized and why should I be baptizing you? Number one, I acknowledge you as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Savior. You are without sin. I am with sin. I am flawed. And I'm the one that's baptizing you. And not just am I baptizing you, why would you need to be water baptized? And Jesus says, let it be so for now, so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. Or the law of righteousness, that it can be fulfilled. Jesus didn't have to repent. But remember that he was human. It doesn't take away from his divinity, but he was fully God and fully man. He left heaven, was born here of a virgin, and is entered humanity, has taken upon himself the humility of being human. And if this is what is to take place to fulfill the law, then I have come to fulfill the law. So there wasn't a repentance, but there was a baptism, an outward sign of an inward attitude of submission to the Father and to the practice of what is becoming Christianity, or what they known at the time as a baptism of repentance, not just relying upon your Jewishness or your nationality or where you were born. And so Jesus comes, is acquainted with humanity, and he has come to fulfill the law in any outward action that is actually already fulfilled in who he is in his nature, fully God. What humility Jesus displays, and this is what I want to mention to you, is not just about water baptism, but the attitude of Christ. That here he is, the Savior, the Christ of Christianity, and he gets water baptized. If he wouldn't have been water baptized, you and I would understand it. He's Christ. He's perfect. And yet the humility that he displayed. Let me ask you something. Have you ever felt certain tasks were ever beneath you? Don't answer out loud. You don't have to. I already know the answer. You're saying, well, don't be so judgmental and arrogant that you know that you think that there are some tasks that are beneath me. Husbands, have you ever walked through the kitchen and seen an obvious crumb on the kitchen floor? And walked over it and said she'll get it later? Or kicked it to the side so it goes up against the underneath the cupboard where it goes, it's recessed just a couple inches, and think, well, she'll get that when she sweeps? Or do you pick it up? Some of you men here say, well, actually, I'm the one who cleans the kitchen, so I do go and get it. Well, how wonderful. Have you ever thought, well, you know, I'm a supervisor at my job, and why would I go pick up that piece of paper? It's job security for the custodian. We have people for that. When in actuality, it's beneath us, we think. What have you or I assumed because we've walked with Christ for a while in our faith, in our life, that we look at in Christianity that Christians should be doing, being fruitful, that we say, you know, well, that's just kind of for new believers. I don't really need to do that. Or I've been going to New Life long enough, even though I'm not a member. I basically live like a member. But why would I now go and take the one-day class and then sit with the pastor and a few deacons from the board and go through just a conversation interview to become a member? I mean, why would I do that? I mean, I'm a believer. People respect me. I've matured in the faith for a while. Why would I? I don't need to do that. I've been a believer, and Christ knows my heart, and he knows my faith, and I respond to his conviction, and I've repented, but, you know, I've never been water baptized, so, you know, why would I go do that now? And after all, what would people think? They already think I'm probably baptized, and besides, I'm baptized in the fullness of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues, and, you know, why would I? That's kind of for back when you start out. I don't need to do it now. What things in our life, a life of a Christian, do we think that's kind of beneath us because we walked with him for a while, or we feel we've excelled in a particular area or two in our Christian walk, and therefore this is incidental and it's not so important, and so we kind of think God understands and no big deal. And yet the one who we follow displayed complete humility to go through whatever, and we refer to them as hoops, and they're not really hoops. I don't want to belittle this, but we sometimes have that attitude like they're hoops to jump through, and I don't want to do that, and I'm too far along, and that's for other people. And the reality is we just don't want to go through the steps because they feel like they're beneath us. And maybe if we go back and do some of these things we didn't do that we should have done before, that, you know, others may look at us a little different. Jesus, he was there to simply do this, to fulfill the law and to do what was right, to go through the steps that says he has, who is becoming this rabbi and is becoming this teacher, that he just didn't show up from heaven and now he's this rabbi. But that he went through the studying. And he went through the, what you and I call hoops. And he went through the baptism, though he didn't need to repent. And he went through and did what was right. And his example to others, to show that, you know, this is the life that I have lived. This is what I have done. I have gone through the rites, the R-I-T-E-S, of this association, this affiliation, this life. I have gone through the acts that partner with who he is and that we should go through that partners with our faith in him. The acts themselves mean nothing unless it is based upon faith. There are those who can get water baptized, but if they don't have a real faith in Jesus Christ, a personal faith, a living faith, the baptism means nothing. The water is not mystical and magical. It's water. It came out of the pipes that are hooked into the water of this city's supply. We didn't drill down outside the property here and go to this, oh, the Lord will lead us to the right level. And just go, oh, and there's the spring of God and we'll pipe it into the church and it's, we'll use it for baptism. And that's not the way this worked. This expression this morning is meaningful because the people going through it have personal faith in Christ and they have repented, asked God to forgive, and say, I want to follow after him. And so there is this public profession of their faith. And it's an outward expression of their inward attitude and their inward life with Christ. It's the thing they want to do. They want to express the humility. It's not like, oh, I'll go and be humble so people think I'm humble. It's that this humility and this following Christ has taken over in here. And being water baptized is not beneath them. And it's not just a hoop. It's a personal expression of their faith in the one who saved them, that loves them, that they love back. So maybe for you it's not water baptism, but what instruction in here? What law in here? What command in here? What leading of the Holy Spirit has come to you or I that we try to dismiss because we feel, well, I'm above that, or I don't really need to do that, or that's optional, or, you know, that's for new believers, I'm mature, or that's for young kids, I'm an adult. What impression is the Holy Spirit giving to you and I in our life? Where is he pressing us? Where is he moving us? Where is he leading us? Is he drawing us somewhere that may involve an outward expression or some change in our life? You know, we love to see, you know, we do. Those who've been around the church for a while, they love to see, you know, children and young people come up to the altar and, you know, kneel down and put their hands towards heaven and maybe jump around and dance a little bit and be excited in their faith and all of that. And we as adults, we like to sit back here and go, Boy, our youth are on fire. Oh, that's so great. Oh, good for them. That's wonderful. Well, I don't want to go up there and do any of that. You know, that's for kids. Is that beneath you? Or are you just uncomfortable with it in your own life? What expression might be the Holy Spirit impressing for you to do unto the Lord regardless of who's watching? See? Well, I'm not going to act like that. I'm an adult. I'm mature and I'm dignified. It's really our justification of saying, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want anybody to think I'm fanatical. I just kind of want to be a devoted follower of Jesus that looks like I'm following Jesus, but I'm really calling the shots myself and what I'm going to do and not do. See? What humility might Christ be bringing to our life? Speaking to us about that would annihilate any barriers or hindrances that we could actually walk with him closer. We get rid of the barriers, they won't trip us up anymore. What a humility. The only Son of God to leave heaven, to come to earth, be born of a virgin and take on humanity, this, you know, incarnate Christ, to live among us. That the God of heaven would go through that in the pain and the scorn and the shame and the misunderstanding of the cross. So that you and I'd be saved. What humility. Humility, what love, what compulsion that it doesn't matter. I'll go through the steps. I'll go through the hoops and make sure they're meaningful and I'm fulfilling the law and I'm fulfilling faith and I'm following after Christ. You might not look at the crumb on the floor the same way when you get home today. The piece of paper that you might pick up. The bathroom you might clean. That we think is not our job. No one may be watching. But you do it unto the Lord. Because you're a follower of His.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.